Blog Talk Radio. Of your power. to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And of course, I told you that majesty means dignity and beauty. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion. Dominion means control or rule, endure throughout all generations. Hallelujah. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and rises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, and you giveth them their meat in due season. You opens thine hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh, nigh means near, unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth. Preserveth means to maintain or keepeth all them that love him. But all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. See, we have read Psalms 145 in its entirety. I pray that we all get understanding for the reading of his word. Let's have a word of prayer. You may say your prayer as I say my prayer. And of course, most people will say, bow your head. But I'm different. I will ask you to look up to heaven, because that's where Jesus went. And he's going to come down for us. And we need to look to see him as he come. We know not what time he will come, but he is coming. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for sending your son, Yeshua, known as Jesus, that has saved us, your lost sheep, by giving him the courage to be killed for us sheep on the cross by the Roman soldiers of the Romans. Thank you for giving us the prophets, for giving them courage to do their assignments. Thank you for giving King James the courage and the wealth and conviction to put this Bible in print, that I may have the right to read from it. Thank you for giving me courage to do your will and be obedient to feed your sheep, and making a way for me to do, well, get it done through Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Thank you for keeping natural and chemical disasters away from Detroit, Michigan, your blessed city. Thank you for giving us sheep sound, sane mind with excellent help. I say this prayer in Yeshua's name, also known as Jesus. Amen. This is the Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, your host. Happy Sabbath, everyone. The only day in the Bible that tells you to keep holy and rest. Read it for yourselves in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 in my King James Bible, but that is the fourth commandment. It's also found in the book of Deuteronomy, the commandments, that is, verses 5, or chapter 5, verses 7 through 21. I also ask you to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, where God blessed the seventh day of all the work that he had done to this earth, and he rested on this day, on the Sabbath day. Sabbath is observed starting Friday evening to Saturday evening. And of course, you should know that I read from the King James Version of the Bible. As well, you know, to have your three P's, that's your pen, paper, and pencil. I have not, I'd say, graduated to having your notebooks and e-books or whatever they are called. But I know you young folks do it a different way now. You just tap on a machine. It's in the book of Daniel. I forget what chapter, but it says, it will increase, knowledge will increase, and it has, to where you can have, I guess you call them notepads, and you can read the Bible from that. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for making it easy for us. Now, you know, I tell you that the Idumeans or the Edomites, or Esau's children, or I call them kids. I try not to give them respect because in my mind, they are terrible people. To this day, you have what you call police officers who are supposed to protect us people, but they are the ones that's killing people, dragging young men, beating them where they cannot walk. I'm thinking they have broken this young man's back, and they're dragging him to the police wagon to put him in. And I understand that once you put someone in that wagon, you are supposed to strap them in. But those three, I think it was in Baltimore, I was looking on TV, where I saw those three white, or the Edomites, or Esau's kids, the white men, dragged this young black male. Earlier, people said that he was running. And when the Edomites got him, they beat him down so bad, he could not walk. And then they put him in the police van and not strap him in. And he later died from what happened to him. But I'm asking our Father to bring those three to justice, to his justice, the white man's justice. But you know, if you live long enough, you'll know that they make the law, and then they'll break that law. They won't send them to jail, but I pray that they will. And if they won't, the judges and whoever that will not send them will get their just due. Now, turn with me to the book of Mark. I left off at reading in chapter 11 at verse 31, but I want to go back up to verse 27 and start reading from there, as well as I want you to remember that at this time, Jesus, the day before, had gone into the temple in Jerusalem, and he had saw people buying and selling stuff in the temple, and he threw the money changers out. He turned the tables over for those who sold doves and whatever they were doing. Go back to Mark chapter 11 and start reading that, and you'll understand better what I'm talking about. And when he threw the money changers out, and those people who were selling their ware in the church, as you would sell in the marketplace. As he threw them out, after he threw them out, he began to teach them, and he says, "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves." And you'll find that in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. But I'm going to pick up reading at chapter 11, verse 27. And it reads, "And Jesus had gone back to Bethany, the place where he had stayed, and then come into Jerusalem." And it reads, verse 27. And I want you all to read with me, see? It's a pleasure. I'm not the best reader, but I do what I can. Let's go. Let's read. "And they came, and they come again to Jerusalem. And he was, as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders," the big three, huh? "And they said, and say unto them," let's read verse 28 again, "and say unto him, by what authority do you these things, and who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves." When they reasoned with themselves, I'm thinking they got into a round huddle. But the Bible doesn't say that. I'm thinking that. And let me start at verse 31 again. "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answered and said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." Well, see, that ends the reading of Mark chapter 11. Now, let us get into today's reading, the parable of the wicked vine dressers. That's Mark. We're in Mark chapter 12, and I pray that our Heavenly Father will give me the ability to read all of it this day in one session. Let's read, starting at verse 1, Mark 12. "And he began to speak unto them by parables." The he is Jesus Christ, or Yeshua. "A certain man," a parable, as you know from other lessons, is a story. "A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat." And a wine vat is a vessel that is put underneath the wine press so that it can catch whatever wines that may drip out, or so that it won't go to waste. "And built a tower and let." Let means to rent or either to hire people to run it for him. And let, I'm going to say hire people out to husbandmen. And husbandmen are farmers. And he went into a faraway country. So verse 1 is saying that he hired the vineyard out to farmers to keep for him. verse 2. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen, remember, the husbandmen are farmers, a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen, I'm going to say fruit, farmers instead of husbandmen, and throughout this reading from here on out, the husbandmen, the farmers, the fruit of the vineyard, and they caught him, and they, well, I want you to understand that he sent his servant, and they caught him, verse 3, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And he, the servant man, sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and beat him and sent him away shamefully. Handle. Verse 5. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved son, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence, and reverence means they have deep respect for my son. But the farmers said among themselves, this is his heir. Come, let us kill him and maintain. And let me read this verse 7 again. I guess I should say husbandmen. I said farmers, and it threw me off. But those husbandmen are the farmers, said among themselves, this is his heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. A heir is a person that is an inheritor. The heir was going to receive his father's wine bed, or the land, the vineyard. Let's read, starting at verse 8. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. That sounds like, I'll tell you in a minute. Let's read on. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? And will he give the vineyard unto others? Verse 7, where the farmers said, let's kill him and take the vineyards. That sounds like Psalms 83 to me. Whereas we Hebrew Israelites were in Jerusalem and running it back in the day, and about 10 nations gathered against us. They said, let's kill them and take the land. And they have done that. There is another group of people in Jerusalem nowadays calling themselves Jews, but they are not. Read in Revelation chapter 2, or chapter, I'm forgetting now. Is it chapter 2, verse 9? Let me turn there. I'm getting off my lesson, and I don't want to do that. It's Revelation. I'll be there in a minute. And it's Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, they say they are Jews, and they are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. It also says in chapter 3, verse 9, that the Jews say they are Jews, but they are not, but they lie, and they are the children of Satan. You read that for yourself. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. And I need to look that up again to make sure I'm telling the sheep the right things. I don't want to tell anything the wrong thing. And I don't want to give it as an excuse that I'm getting old and I may say something that's not quite right. We'll pick up at verse 8. And they took him and killed him and cast him out the vineyard. Verse 9. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, those are the farmers, and will give the vineyard to others. But you see, when they destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D., or when those 10 nations formed a confederacy against us, they did not kill us all. Some of us ran. And there's a tribe ran to Africa called the Lemba, L-E-M-B-A tribe. Check out their DNA. They are black like me. They look like me. And they have been deemed by the Adumians, the white men, that they are, in fact, the children of Jacob. And so those who are there, they're not really the ones that are there. Let's pick up at verse 10. And have you not read the scriptures? The stone which is built, which the builders rejected, has become the head of the corner. You'll find that in Psalms 118, verse 22, verse 11. This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 12. And they set those the three men that came to Jesus in the temple, the chief priests, scribes, and the elders. Well, no. It reads, and they set to lay hold of him, but the fear of the people, for they knew that he, and they're talking about Jesus, has spoken the parable, and parable is a story against them, and they left him and went their way. Verse 13, and they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. Now, the Herodians opposed Jesus just like the Pharisees did, and they are a political group. They are a political group that criticized Jesus for keeping Moses' laws and for hanging out with us sinners. You know, they think that they are all that when they are the ones that are not. Let's see, I've lost my, where I'm going to read verse 12 again and keep reading. They sought to lay hold of him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken a parable against them, and they left him and went their way. And they sent unto him certain of Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, that's the Pharisees and Herodians, Master, we know that you are true and carest for no man, for you regardest not the person of men, but teaches the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, he knew that they were there for one thing, and that was to catch him. They don't really They want to catch him in saying something that may be untrue. But Jesus, knowing this, said unto them, "Why tempt you me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it." And they brought it. And he again is Jesus, said unto them, "Who is this image and subscription?" Subscription is writing. Like when you look on a penny, you'll see some writing on it. I don't know if it has, it might have a face on it. I don't pay that much attention to a penny. I just know it's a penny. And they said unto him, "Caesar's." And Jesus answered and said unto them, Render means to give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. That's true. They were amazed. Marvel means amazed or in awe at his answer. That's how Jesus is, you know. He tells it like it is. Verse 18. Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say, "There is no resurrection." And they ask him. Remember, they say there is no resurrection. They ask him this, "Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seeds unto him, unto his brother. Now, there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died. Neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seventh had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also in the resurrection." Now, they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe that you'll be born again. "In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife." Verse 24, "And Jesus answered and said unto them," the Sadducees, "Do you not therefore," he said, "do you not therefore error, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor give in marriage, but are as angels which are in heaven." Now, that's news to me. When we die, we are going to come back as angels, as in heaven. And we'll find that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. So, those Sadducees tried to catch him in a lie, but they proved that they don't know scripture. Let's read verse 26. "And as torturing the dead, and as touching the dead, they shall rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him," the him is Moses, "saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." You'll find that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. "He said, he is not the God of dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do err greatly. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving means becoming aware of, that he had answered them well, asked him, the him there is Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered and said to him, the first commandment of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love him, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likewise, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as thyself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, discreetly means carefully here, he said unto him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst means dare ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? But David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies thy footstool. And you'll find that in Psalms 110, verse 11. Verse 37, David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence means from what place is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them, his doctrine, beware of scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations. Salutations are greetings and welcomes in the marketplaces. And the chief priest seats in the synagogue and in the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour. Devour means here to cheat or destroy widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. So shepherds, do not make long prayers and pretense in church. Verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites of small copper coins, which maketh a farthing is 1/10 of a penny. So a farthing is maketh less than a penny. And I hope I said that right, because I looked up what farthing meant, and that was less than 10% of a penny. Let's read verse 44. And he called unto him, Jesus called unto him, his disciples and said unto them, Verily, verily means truly or certainly, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And that's a lot, you know, for her to cast in her two mites. Perhaps there were maybe, let's say, 300 or 400 people attending the Sabbath that day. And maybe many of them cast in $40 or $50, making the whole lot amount that was cast into the treasury a lot of money. But her two mites were worth more. Verse 44, For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Oh, wow, that was deep. She gave all that she had, and what she had was more than that they cast in. That's the parable of the wicked vine dressers. That's chapter 12. We finished reading chapter 12, and we'll come back next Sabbath and read chapter 13. I pray that our Father will give you understanding of chapter 12 if you have time, and certainly you may read over it again. See, I want to have a closing word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we, your lost sheep, thank you for all the things that you do for us, especially your constant protection from the evil one. We thank you for leading us not into temptation and delivering us from all evil. We thank you for giving us this day our daily bread and for giving us our debt as we forgive our debt. In Yeshua's name, also named Jesus, amen. See, that comes to the end of our lesson today. And I just want to say something on my own. I want to say that I watched on television how many different nations were serving the Christmas holiday, where in, I know that other countries may not have read this Bible, and they believed in what the Christmas that the Idumeans have put on this earth, or the Edomites, the children of Esau. Make those nations sin that I saw them dressed in Santa Claus suits in different countries. I was just shocked. And I know I've gone to school with some of them, and they are smart. The Chinese, I don't know if the Chinese had those Santa Claus suits on, but I know people that look like Japanese had those Santa Claus suits on. And I was very shocked to see that. Well, that's one thing. And the last thing I want to tell you is to go to Amazon and celebrate the heathen's holiday by getting my book, The Passing, my e-books, The Broken Plant, and The Unseen. They'll cost you less than $20. You got to have e-readers. Celebrate your holiday by going and purchasing my e-books. My name is Sondra Harris. Purchase my books from Amazon. If it's God's will, I will be back next Sabbath. Remember, take God with you everywhere you go.
Help your children. other, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know He lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause He lift up my heart to be thankful and glad that Jesus.